The Loose Cannons are on the air.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
Steve Hartman.
It's about what pleases us versus what pleases them. What about us?
And Mike Costa.
Unfortunately, it's not going to be the best thing for everybody.
On Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Welcome to our Thursday edition, The Loose Cannons, on your home of everything San Diego sports, Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. And we're about an hour away from the start of this year's NBA draft, Costa. We got lots of rumors to catch up everybody on. And, you know, after listening to the androgynous show that precedes us, that is classic,
listen,
Costa.
Justin Richards certainly does not lack for great hair, nor does he lack for testosterone.
Right.
And Rich Armberger, the same way, as far as the hair is concerned. I can't talk about low T or high T as far as Rich is concerned. But I appreciate the teeth, the gumption, the edge that Judson brought to what is normally, unfortunately, sometimes a question mark from 12 to 3.
Yes, and I did hear this morning, of course, Judson doing double duty today.
He's a team player, man.
He and Nick had on a doctor that talked about the fact of how we are reacting and that we are a more androgynous society, that women are far more assertive, more male-like, and men are the reverse. Now, to me, and I thought Nick brought up a good point, there is a clear differential between men and women. I don't understand why it is that we're so set on changing that. I mean, it's not that women shouldn't have every opportunity a man has.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 100% for that. But as far as women actually being women and men actually being men, I don't see where the problem here
is. No, I have a grocery list long piece of paper of women who I know are tougher than I am. I married one. There is a distinct, let me put it this way. There's a distinct reason why women, A, are the ones who take care of childbirth, and B, why women outlive men.
Ah, I mean, but they said one of the reasons that men are living longer, and actually the divide between how long women live and men live has narrowed considerably because women are taking on the male traits that have shortened our lives, and men are doing the reverse. They're taking on the female traits that allow you to live longer.
Well, the only female trait I'm taking on is what's happening in my chest area because I'm so fat. So that's about it, though.
All
that's
right,
where I draw
then
the line.
You'll live to be 100 years old, and you'll enjoy every second of it. All right, we got lots to cover today. Remember, always looking for the Cannon Shot of the Day, 570-1360, at Cannon Harbin and Costa, 1360, Texas 70470. And Costa, once again, we have a tremendous prize.
We do. We're going to be out there. We're going to be broadcasting tomorrow, by the way, at Petco Park, but on the 30th, when the Dodgers are in town with the Padres, we'll be out there once again at Park in the Park. And we have a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Padres and LA. Remember, it's Padres Beer Fest before the game out there at Park in the Park as well.
Yeah, we're going to be focused very heavily on the NBA draft. Dennis Lynn of the UT will join us at 5:30 just to sort of get a thought here on the mindset costs of the Padres with all the controversy, and of course he was there with them, so I'm anxious to find out how the players are reacting. Andy Green has come out and said that he would do it the same way again. My question is, well, where exactly do you draw the line? Is it open season then on the Padres, knowing they'll never retaliate as long as Andy Green is the manager? And just the whole idea that San Diego in general is soft, that if you're an athlete and you come to San Diego, you're soft, no matter what the sport is. And that has been a long time perception.
And Steve, in my book, it's also opened up the Pandora's box now of, okay, if something does happen to this team this season down the road, you know, all eyes are immediately going to go to the manager, Andy Green. And we're going to sit there with bated breath. Okay, is this when you're going to do something? Does this situation warrant you guys retaliating in some sort of way? And based on what we did not see in Chicago, I think most people would sit here and go, yeah, they're not going to do anything. They'll take it again.
All right, let's get you up to date on what we're hearing with the NBA draft.
Good
I am
God.
Monitoring several sources right now as we are less than an hour away. And by the way, we will carry live the first two picks Philadelphia right now sitting with that number one pick they acquired from Boston. And then, of course, the Lakers at number two. And speaking of the Lakers, here is the latest. And this should come as no surprise, but now several sources are leaking out rumors. And remember this, Costa, what about 99 out of 100 rumors are completely false? 99
always.
Out of 100. But every once in a while, if you throw enough out there, something will stick. But here's the latest with the Lakers. So here we are, less than an hour away from the draft. And everything seems perfectly set for them to take Lonzo Ball.
I think Steve, can't we say that's almost an exact right now?
I'm going to give you an update on that. But let's figure out the reasons why you should take Lonzo Ball. Because it's not just the fact that he fills an obvious need, especially now that D'Angelo Russell is gone, at the point guard position, or the fact that maybe Magic Johnson sees a little magic in Lonzo Ball. That's the basketball side of it. But, you know, I've been listening to a lot of people. We talk about the Ball family a lot because of LeVar Ball. But here's what I've been hearing is the fact that the Ball family, and it's not just LeVar and Lonzo, but really LaMelo, the youngest one, who's going to be a junior in high school next year, they are so wildly popular with the teenagers. Teenagers. Oh. You know how you always say from a marketing standpoint, you're trying to, you know, get that young group with you.
Well, the phrase has been capture the millennials. It seems like everybody is trying to do. That's the growth that a group you have to focus on. But you're right. The teenagers are right there in that pack.
And the idea is you hook the millennial and then they stay with you the rest of the way. So the popularity, while we sit here and rip into LeVar Ball and that he's being irresponsible and a glory hog and everything else, that's not how millennials see it. See, millennials like celebrity. This is how you explain the Kardashians or any pop star, you know, Justin Bieber, anybody like that, how they become so wildly popular, especially on social media. And that's the world now. It's about social media. So if the Lakers just step back and don't even look at Lonzo Ball, the player, which I think obviously is a very good player, but the impact that a marriage between the Lakers and the Ball family would have would be insanely lucrative for the Laker organization. It is a win-win-win. And remember, Jeannie Buss is running the show for the Lakers now. And she is a marketing person. So she fully understands how valuable a commodity Lonzo Ball will be for the Lakers. Now, if he turns out to be a great player, then that's icing on the cake.
Sure.
But that Ball brand associated with the Lakers is dynamite.
And let's look at Lonzo Ball. Okay, first off, California kid. Secondly,
yes.
you're playing across the street. I say across the street. You're playing at UCLA. I mean, your name is obviously known in Los Angeles. And from day one, we have heard Magic Johnson in love with Lonzo Ball, loves his game, loves everything about him, could be one of the next big superstars for the Lakers. And let's not lose sight of the fact that Jerry West is now across the street. He's with the Clippers. And so that may have stalled a little bit of the Lakers' thunder, although the Lakers still the top draw. We know with the crowd still at Staples Center, even with as bad as they've been the last couple of years. So now there's a little bit of a tug of war starting to develop between the Lakers and the Clippers for, you know, who can get the most spotlight in Los Angeles. You grab Lonzo Ball, which I think 99.9% sure that they are going to do. And that really is the beginning of the rebirth of the Lakers and Magic trying to get back to Showtime.
They need a star.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball is a star, especially a star that LA would appreciate. You can make an argument that Josh Jackson's a better player or De'Aaron Fox is a better player, Markelle Fultz, but none of them have the star qualities of Lonzo Ball. And that is so important in a city like LA. They want stars. Even if the Lakers, and we had Michael Thompson on yesterday, he conceded the fact that Lonzo Ball joins Kansas team. They might win 35 games. They're not going to have a sniff of the playoffs, but they're going to be wildly entertaining, and they're going to be a must-watch. Good or bad, Lonzo Ball is going to be a must-watch. All right, so here's the latest. So we sit here, Costa, and we're thinking, all right, it's a done deal. But now several sources close to the Lakers are leaking it out that they're still not 100% sold on Lonzo Ball. That they're looking at Josh Jackson. They're looking at De'Aaron Fox. Both had multiple workouts for the Lakers. And my thought about this is, well, let's get to Josh Jackson. We know Philadelphia moved up to number one because they wanted Fultz. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because the Celtics are sitting at number three, and we're going to get into all the things floating around the Celtics right now. But if the Celtics are absolutely sold on keeping the pick so that they could get Josh Jackson, and remember, Jackson didn't even have time to work out with the Celtics. But if that is their idea, like they are all in on Josh Jackson, and it's even hinted that the Lakers might take Josh Jackson. What the Lakers are hoping, obviously, is the Celtics panic, switch picks, and maybe they throw in one of those
more
future. Well, they got all these number ones, you know,
yeah,
the Celtics
are
sitting
this
on
year.
Well, they got all, and, well, the, in the future, yeah, the next future, couple of years. They got six of them over the next couple of years. So I understand the play. We see this in all these sports, especially NFL, NBA, where you start floating out rumors, hoping that somebody panics. But that is the only reason, because, again, for every single – you talk about checking the boxes. I mean, Lonzo Ball for the Lakers checks every single box. And he is the perfect Laker.
He is. And you, as much as we, you know, chastise LaVar Ball for his lambastic ways and the way he's out in front of the camera all the time and won't shut up and things like that, you do tonight, after his son is drafted – you have to applaud him. You have to give him credit for taking Lonzo Ball the son, Lonzo Ball the player, and now Lonzo Ball the brand along with the Big Baller brand, and taking it to the heights of where everybody and their mother, who is a basketball fan, knows who Lonzo Ball is. So LaVar has to be applauded for that.
Absolutely. I mean, by even saying that my son is only going to play for the Lakers,
right,
only increases the value of Lonzo Ball to the Lakers. All right, so that's one storyline. The other big storyline has been Paul George. Here is the latest on the Paul George situation. We know that the Cleveland Cavaliers have nothing to move other than Kevin Love. They're over the cap. They have the highest cap. I mean, everyone's signed up. They have no movable pieces. But they are obviously convinced that what they have now is not good enough to bypass the Warriors. So the latest is that they were trying to shop Kevin Love to Chicago for Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm, and to Indiana for Paul George. And both those teams said, we're not interested in Kevin Love. So that's dead. However, there is another intriguing situation for Paul George. Stay with me on this one. You ready for this?
Okay, here we go.
So, the San Antonio Spurs, Cleveland did contact the Spurs, by the way, about Danny Green.
Oh, my God.
But apparently the Spurs want way too much. But here's what the Spurs are trying to do. They're trying to move LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes.
And one of the teams they're trying to get a hold of is Phoenix. Because Phoenix was one of those teams that was interested in LaMarcus Aldridge before he signed with San Antonio. What the Spurs are looking for is that fourth pick in the draft. Phoenix is sitting at number four for LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, obviously, there's got to be a little more, but, you know,
sweeten
a
it.
Little bit more. Then what they would do is they would take that number four pick in the draft and ship it to Indiana for Paul George. Because remember, like Indiana, in talking to the Lakers, they said, we're not interested in anything here. The Lakers offered Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, the 27th and 28th pick in the draft.
No, it was Ingram, like, or no. The number two. That was it.
They wanted the number two pick.
Yeah.
So with this, if somehow the Spurs can wrestle that number four pick away,
ooh,
from Phoenix, they would offer it to Indiana for Paul George. And if Indiana bites, then Paul George would become a Spur And then Chris Paul would sign with the Spurs, and you would have a triumphant of Chris Paul, Paul George,
and
Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio.
Oh, my Lord. And then let's throw Greg Popovich into the mix, too.
Well, and good then, Lord. You know this, if that trio works, then there's no way Paul George is going to leave San Antonio.
No.
Come to the Lakers.
Not at all. And that simply just boils down to who's closer, who's the better team. And hands down right now, it's obviously the San Antonio Spurs.
So the
and
Spurs,
closer to a title.
Look, this is all about every team is trying to figure out a way. What can we do to beat the Warriors? The Warriors are, you know, they're there. And they've set the bar very high. So let's go back to the Spurs. Again, a lot of things have to happen. I mean, it's got to be a perfect storm.
Oh, yeah,
obviously.
It's a little nebulous right now.
But this is what the Spurs thinking is right now as we are ticking down, you know, to this draft. Trade LaMarcus Aldridge to Phoenix, somehow get the fourth overall pick, shipped out off to Indiana, get Paul George to San Antonio, and then sign Chris Paul. So if you have Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, does that challenge the Warriors? I mean,
it does.
Got to the Western Conference Finals this year, and we really don't know what would have happened
right. If
Kawhi Leonard hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, you have to look at them as maybe the second best team in the West, if in fact that does happen. But then break it down and look at, let's look at roster versus roster, if that were to happen, and go with who we know Golden State has on their team right now and is not losing anybody. You still have to say Golden State is the better team, but the gap, if George and Paul were to join the Spurs, closes dramatically.
By the way, did you? I'm completely off the beat, but it happens to be a dear friend of ours. Did you see where Bill Johnston has been hired by the Padres?
This is so awesome, and it's so awesome because
we're so happy,
Steve,
and I applaud the Padres
absolutely.
For taking on one of the great people that I've ever been associated with from a PR standpoint, dear friend of mine for 33 years. But Bill Johnston, all those years with the Chargers, obviously his wife's situation prevented him from making the move to Los Angeles, and now he's going to work for the Padres. I applaud Bill, his family, and
without
especially the Padre organization for reaching out and bringing in a quality guy like Bill Johnston.
And I know for a fact that Dean Spanos and the Spanos family hate the Padres organization, loathe them for them not really doing what they thought they should do to help them get Measure C passed downtown. And this is just such a middle finger to the Chargers organization. It is beautiful, and it couldn't happen to a better guy than Bill Johnston.
So I am so happy that Bill Johnston stays in. Great. Just another reason for us. We're going to go out. You know, tomorrow we're going to be out at the Padre game. Padres have this 9-game homestand. So you got 3 with Detroit starting this weekend. They are off Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights taking on the Braves. We've got to go to one of those games.
Yes.
I mean, now that the curse is over and we have nothing to worry about anymore.
Oh, yeah, footloose and fancy free.
Just enjoy the nachos, the dogs, and everything else. So that'll be next week. All right, so we've got all this stuff going on with the Lakers. Rumors about number 2 in the draft right now. Would they consider trading it? Is it all set that Philadelphia is going to take Markelle Fultz at number 1? But even the biggest story of the day when it comes to the NBA draft involves the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. That's right. What is the current relationship like between Phil Jackson, president of the Knicks, and his prized 21-year-old big man, Kristaps Porzingis? Is it possible that the Knicks would trade away this current and future superstar? Will tell you how it's going to happen coming up next.
Magic Johnson has torn that Lakers house down to the studs. How does he begin to remodel it? Is it going to be a thing of beauty? Let's see what happens with that number two pick. We get started at 6 a.m. and extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Ken is with you on this Thursday. The NBA draft kicking off in little over a half hour. We'll go to the podium.
Yes.
For Commissioner Silver's announcement of the first overall. And we will also be, we are the home of the Lakers in San Diego. We will have who they pick, most likely Lonzo Ball, with the second overall choice, if, Steve, they hold on to that second overall choice.
Well, and remember, they also have the 27th and 28th picks in the first round. So, you know, I was talking yesterday with Michael Thompson. We talked about some scenarios with those picks. A lot of people say they're just going to keep them where they are. In other words, you're able to, you know, maybe get, you could hit with one of them, maybe you hit with both of them. They need players. I mean, let's face it. They still need a lot more players. And the good thing about having late first round picks, you get them at a bargain price.
Big time.
And so they really don't have a huge influence on your cap situation, you know, once you're pursuing free agents in 2018. So, we'll be all over it today. As I said, the only way we're going to really deviate, we got the Padres plus three back. We're not going to shortchange it. They actually won a game yesterday, so we can get back on that. I mean, it was impossible to do a Padres plus three after what I call the most pathetic game in Padres history the day before.
You can't reward what did not happen with the Padres plus three.
Exactly. I mean, it was just impossible. But Dennis Lynn of the UT will be joining us at 5:30 to give us sort of the up-to-date of the mindset of this Padres team.
That's my biggest
after the
question.
Controversy in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the one thing I want to know. What is that clubhouse like? And, you know, is there are people, how many people are pissed off? Is there a defeated attitude? Do they feel like Andy Green kind of handcuffed them? So, yeah, we'll join him at 5:30.
All right, so here we are at the draft, and the biggest story going on right now is that there are conversations going on between the Knicks and Celtics. Now, the preliminary is this. We know Phil Jackson has made it clear that Porzingis could be had.
Yes.
And we're talking about a kid who will turn 22 in August. He's almost 7'3". He has mad basketball skills. And you know he's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So his value is immense. The question is, how much would the Celtics be willing to pay for Porzingis? Now, before we get you up to date on exactly what the Knicks are asking for, I understand we have a little Phil Jackson sound.
Because a lot of people are starting to now scratch their head about the Zen Master, and is the Zen Master losing it? And is he, you know, at an age where now, you know, with teams like the Lakers and the Bulls, when he was grinding them and they were winning championships, those are veteran-laden teams. Those guys who knew how Phil was. You always talk about the fact that Phil would use Luke Walton as his whipping boy, even though Luke didn't do anything. But, you know, those were veterans who could hand that. In the Knicks, you got a young team, and you got young guys on the team. They're like, dude, what the hell are you doing with some of the stuff you say about the stars in New York? Here's Phil Jackson talking about, hey, the team is just trying to do what's best for the Knicks club.
When a guy doesn't show up at an exit meeting, everybody starts speculating on, you know, the duration or your movability from a club. So we've been getting calls, and, you know, we're listening, but we're not intrigued yet at this level. But as much as we love this guy, you know, we have to do what's good for our club.
Now, you mentioned he didn't show up for the exit interview. Here's what Phil Jackson said about that.
I don't think I've ever had a player over 25 years of coaching, maybe 30, not coming to an exit meeting. So it's not happened to me. I know it happens to other people and other players. And his brother and his agent have said, you know, downplayed it. But, you know, still it's a chance for a person to express themselves. And I had a real good relationship with Kristaps over the last 2 years. So it was kind of surprising.
Actually, it's happened to you twice with Shaq, Phil.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
He's changing things. Well, he dozes off every once in a while, so maybe forgot that.
Yeah, how about that story? One more from Phil Jackson talking about how Porzingis is looking right now.
Well, I reached out, You know, we've communicated, not through voice or anything, although I've tried to call. But, yeah, it's got to be. And they say no worries. He's working hard. And, you know, there are plenty of pictures on the Internet about him working hard and working at it. So, yeah, we'll get it back.
All right. So here is this is what Phil is looking for from the Celtics. All right. And again, he's holding the dynamite kid, Porzingis. I mean, he is a great basketball player.
He's also he can shoot outside. Yeah, he's 7'3".
Yeah, and he will turn 22 in August. Okay? So this is a guy that could have a phenomenal career in the NBA. All right, so what he's asking for from the Celtics. So remember, the Celtics have 6 number one picks over the next 3 seasons. 6. So what he wants is they want the 3rd overall pick this year.
Okay.
They want the pick that the Celtics got from the Brooklyn Nets for next year, which obviously figures to be a very high pick, as bad as Brooklyn is, and 2 players off the Celtic roster. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas off limits, but everybody else would be fair game, at least according to the Knicks. All right, let's take both sides of this. All right, let's say the Celtics make this deal. They would then have a backcourt of, they would have Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley. They would have Al Horford. They would have Porzingis. And then we assume that Gordon Hayward is going to sign with Boston to be reunited with a college coach. So if you got Porzingis, Bradley, Thomas, Horford, and Hayward, how's that team sound to you?
That team sounds awesome. And it was a team that was close last year. That is, that's huge.
And also keep in mind this about Danny Ainge. He is, of all the players he has drafted in Boston, not one has been an all-star. Not one!
Unbelievable.
Now, he's gotten players from other teams, like they got Isaiah Thomas, they got Horford, they got guys from other teams. So this would sort of fall in line for them. Now, the Knicks fans are going crazy. Like, well, what do we get?
They are freaking.
Wait a second. You would have the 3rd and 8th pick in this year's draft. So you would take Josh Jackson, most likely. And then you take that guy with Arizona, who basically is like a Porzingis clone anyway. And you would also have a high top 5 pick next year. So you could potentially not, and then if they throw in a couple of players, maybe one of the, you would basically get 4 starters for 1 player. And if you're the New York Knicks.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that the X factor now is Phil Jackson. If you're going to bring all this young talent together, and you're going to build it and hopefully get, the Knicks back into the conversation, can then you evolve a little bit? You know how Phil is with the psychological digs, and he
did this all the time in Chicago and in L.A. where he takes shots.
Yes.
First of all, you would never hear Phil ever taking any personal blame for anything. He would take shots. Look, he ripped Kobe Bryant in a book.
Yep.
Before getting rehired as the coach of the Lakers.
Right. And, when you have you have players with that razor's edge who, man, all I want to do is win. Veterans like that or guys who are driven like that, they can brush off what Phil says. It's like, screw you. I'm going to go out there. I want to win. But you have to look at it. If you're going to bring a young core like that together in New York, someone's got to get in Phil's ear and say, dude, chill a little bit. Let the guys get together. Let them mash. Let them cut their teeth and make their mistakes. And then you can go in back to, with the little psychological digs, if you think that's going to help, elevate a guy and take his game to the next level. He's got to chill a little bit.
I think it would be a great trade for both teams. The Knicks need a do-over.
Oh, my God.
And if they could get potentially four starters for a single player, do it. And for Boston, oh, my. I mean, Danny Ainge's draft record is so bad. Get Porzingis, sign Gordon Hayward, and suddenly you're a prime challenger to Cleveland for supremacy in the Eastern Conference. All right, let's sneak in one quick call right now. Let's go to Gary. Gary wants to talk a little draft. Gary, welcome. You're on with the Cannons.
Cannons, you guys are the best.
You're the best, Gary.
a couple real quick points. Today is the day the Lakers start their climb back.
Yep.
The Clippers window has closed. They will now be just a sub-team. Golden State has made everybody crazy. Yeah, I remember a few years ago there wasn't any trades. Now everybody and their brother will trade anybody. And the thing about the New York Knicks is the triangle is dead. And if you continue to try to run that triangle, you have no chance to win in the NBA anymore. It's a different league. Phil has to understand that I think the trade with Boston would be great, but I don't think the players are going to come there and want to run the triangle.
I could not agree with you more. Gary, thanks for your phone call. The problem right now, Costa, with the triangle is that it's a turnoff for players.
Well, it's a turnoff for players, and you have to have the right players in position who can absorb it, who get it to be second. You know, they don't give it a second's thought when they're out on the court and they're running it. And you're right. It's complicated, and if you're not the type that can grasp it immediately, you're always playing catch-up, trying to learn and evolve with the offense.
All right, remember, we are 20 minutes away from the start of this year's NBA draft.
All right, a nice day for San Diego at Wrigley yesterday, and we'll have the highlights. Padres +3, it's on deck.
Magic Johnson has torn that Lakers house down to the studs. How does he begin to remodel it? Is it going to be a thing of beauty? Let's see what happens with that number 2 pick. We get started at 6 a.m. at Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
And that number 2 pick is, I'm going to guess, about 20 minutes away. Number 2 pick in this year's NBA draft, which will get started at the top of the hour. We'll be all over the NBA draft while we're doing the 4 at 4. So we can multitask on the show. We can actually do two things at once.
I know sometimes it often sounds like we can't, but we will.
No, that's overplayed. We can do the multitasking, and that's going to be starting at 4 o'clock. All right, so tomorrow, remember, we're going to be out parking the park outside of Petco as the Padres get ready for a 9-game homestand. 9 games. God. This is where they got to take advantage of things. They'll have 3 over the weekend with the Tigers, day off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the Braves. A little payback for that sweep down in Atlanta.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
A little retribution.
And then, of course,
wink, wink.
Dodgers will be joining you, you know, starting a week from tomorrow. Remember, our Cannon Shot of the Day winner gets a 4-pack of tickets for that Dodgers-Padres game coming up on June 30th. With that being said, it's that time.
We committed 24 errors. Their pitcher threw a no-hitter against us. But there is some good news.
1, 2, 3.
It's time for Padres +3. The top 3 highlights from your San Diego Padres. Roll tape.
Rock on, Padre Nation. To a whole new generation. Come to the park, young and old. Story told about the San Diego Padres.
You know, I just wanted to step back and listen to your voice.
Did I bring it?
You did?
That wasn't soft.
But never again am I going to allow you to sing alone.
Okay.
Well, we harmonize well. We do.
Very much so.
We have a good
harmony.
We're
like the Righteous Brothers.
Exactly.
As we date ourselves.
Actually, one of those guys is dead. But anyway.
Sorry.
All right. So the Padres got a win yesterday.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. So let's get it started.
Strike one.
Fly ball right field. Chris Bryant going back onto the warning track at the wall. That ball is gone. A home run. Eric Ibar with his 5th home run of the year ties this game 2-2. Just kept going to right, and that's not easy to do with the wind blowing in from right. But Ibar's 5th home run of the year ties it up 2-2.
Nice.
And that Don Orsillo right there. I thought Mudd was outstanding on that call as well, adding very little.
Yeah.
Ibar's really weird. You know, it's like the 3rd straight year they've gotten this 30-year-old plus shortstop, sort of a filling guy until they actually establish their shortstop of the future. But every once in a while, Ibar shows a little pop.
Little op field, no worries.
We move on.
Steer right to.
to get that far. Ball four, and he walks in a run. The Padres will take a lead in the eighth inning. Walks Torrens. Second walk of the inning allowed by Uehara. And San Diego on the walk takes a 3-2 lead. Good patience there shown by Torrens.
Oh, yeah. Always exciting. Walk in a run.
Yeah, well, I think the look on Joe Maddon's face was sayonara, Uehara. After walking a backup catcher that is hitting 200 with the bases loaded. Yeah. And remember, I think the count was at 2-1. And the catcher came out to the mound and said, just throw a strike. And then he threw two more balls and walked him.
Well, I remember you were getting ready for the show. You're like, he's going to walk him.
He's going to walk Torrens with the bases loaded in a tie game.
Loser.
Wow. All right, let's wrap this up.
Strike three, you're out.
Maybe a changeup down and away. Schwarber hits it on the ground to first. Myers has got it. He's going to run to the bag, and that's the ball game. Padres win. Brandon Maurer comes in with some Maurer power and closes the door on the defending world champion Chicago Cubs with a victory today in Game 3 of the series. Padres hold on and win it 3-2.
Lou Maurer power.
How about the Padre relief pitchers down the stretch, Costa?
16 batters. Last 16 Cubs they faced yesterday retired.
That is unbelievable.
That's pretty damn good, man.
That's what you call a lights-out bullpen. You know, Diaz had started the game. He had to go out of the game early, and that Padres pitching held together. So, again, back home tomorrow, open up a three-game series against the Tigers. Dennis Lynn of the UT is going to join us coming up at 5:30. He, of course, is with this team 24-7, mm-hmm. seemingly. And,
poor guy.
You know, again, Andy Green has gone public now defending his decision that he's just not into retaliation. And I've got to believe, Costa, there are players on that team that could not disagree more with their manager's decision.
No, and we heard from a source that that was exactly the case. That's like, dude, come on, man. I'm not saying that it's a normal team-building exercise. You know, but at the same time, God, you get an opportunity like that, and not only for your baseball team, but for your city as well, given our current circumstance. Blown opportunity.
So, again, Dennis Lynn at 5:30 will give us the update as the Padres head home. Time now to qualify someone for the cannon shot of the day. Drumroll, please. This out. Cannon shot came from.
It's a text, and it reads, Bill Johnston landing with the Padres is the best news I've heard all day, and there is no close second.
Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, I tweeted out after Jay Posner had posted it on the UT, and congratulations to Bill Johnston, and congratulations to the Padres organization. As I said, they just made their organization that much better. All right, we get ready for two things. We're going to multitask. We got the 4-4 plus the start of the 2017 NBA draft coming up next.